And then I got up and the power of God fell. And I thought, oh, the Lord must like the notices. Lift your hands to Jesus today. Give him a wave and say, Lord, thank you that you've come today. Give him a wave. Thank you, Jesus, you're here today. Just tell him how pleased you are that he is here today. Tell him how you love him. He loves to be welcomed. As he welcomes you today, so you welcome him in your heart. Give him a big wave. Everyone say, welcome, Jesus. Welcome, Jesus. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Amen. 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 Give him a big clap for Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Please have your seats, everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. And in the New Testament, the house of the Lord is not this building. Last night I was talking about mysteries of the kingdom. The mystery is that we are a spiritual temple in which Jesus Christ, Father and Holy Spirit, dwells. John 14:21, Jesus said, I think it's John 14:21, and my Father and I will make our home with you, in you. Hallelujah, the kingdom of heaven is within you. So we are the temple of God, and we've come together as like building blocks to host his presence. Praise God. It's so good. You know, some places I go and, wow, it is difficult. You know, you're not plowing the ground. You're using a jackhammer on concrete. But it is wonderful to come into a place that knows about hosting his presence. And when it comes to praise and worship, it's not so much about the type of songs that you sing, but it's about the heart in which you sing it and the life which sings it. Praise is beautiful when it's sung from lives that are genuinely given to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I went way out into West Java and to a Presbyterian church. Wonderful people, wonderful young couple running the church. And the young people got up and I thought, these people have been trained by MTV. You know MTV? You know, the rock station, you know. I thought, Lord, this is disaster. This is terrible. And the Lord said, I'll teach them. Amen. I'll teach them. I'll show them what heaven is like, how I do it. Amen. So about 15, I don't know, they all got off the stage. Power of God came on, knocked them all unconscious on the floor. They're all out. And then, then the pastor gets up and he's got a foolscap, not A4. Anyone know what foolscap is? That's the longer one. And he had everything marked out, what was going to happen. Ha, ha, ha. So the Lord showed him also. Power of God comes on him, knocks him out. He's got his head almost in the bass drum and he stays there for the entire meeting. And at the end of the meeting, his wife said, she thought to herself, he must get up and say the benediction and do the last thing and farewell the people. And she tried to grab him and get him off the floor, couldn't move him. He was out cold. Hallelujah. Praise God. So God's looking at the heart, you know. I prayed for a worship team in Sydney and took the hand of one of the worship people. And what happened was, you know, it's not just, you know, seeing people fall over or stuff. There's spiritual dynamics that are happening. And as I go to pray to release the anointing, a wall of secular music hit me. I said, you're listening to secular music and contaminating the worship of God. She said, oh, yeah. Some people change, some people don't. But, you know, God is looking for the heart of the worshippers. And this is a real issue in the wider church, has been for decades, where people have phenomenal worship in terms of technology, lights, the whole show, very attractive and everything. But then you find out that the people who are worshipping are in adultery or they're in this or addictions and all this stuff, you see. And what is appealing to man can be an abomination to God. Amen? He's a holy God and he's not changing for anything, you know. Praise God. I'm on a flow now. And the Lord's not looking for numbers who are in buildings. He's looking, he hasn't changed. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. He's looking for people who love him. Who love him. If you love me, you will obey my commands. He's looking for an obedient people who are yielded to him. Whether it's two or three who are gathered in my name, or 2,000 or 3,000. It's still the same. He's looking for a consecrated people who have come out of the world, who are cleansed by the blood and who love him. Praise God. Praise God. You know, in the meetings, it's like life, Christian life. You're not called in the Christian life, in your life, to please anyone but Jesus Christ. You're living unto him. You know, where it says that Paul says, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ, I'm a servant. The word servant, often that's translated servant, is doulos. It doesn't mean servant, it means slave. You are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't belong to yourself. Your one purpose in life is to serve him, to obey the master, that the master might say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your father. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. So in these meetings, I'm not trying to please you. You know, there is one, you may not see him, but there is one standing among us who's running the meeting. Amen. He's Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And, you know, if you're not located by the Holy Spirit, as in picked out, and then you get in the prayer line and I say to you, it hasn't been given to me to pray for you, you are doubly blessed. Doubly blessed. Now, how's that? Because the Syrophoenician woman who had a demonized daughter cried out to Jesus and he ignored her. And she kept crying out to him and he continued to ignore her. And the disciples said, send her away, she's troubling us. When Jesus doesn't seem to be looking at you, to be paying attention to you, I believe that he is crystallizing, clarifying, and focusing your faith on him. Because sometimes a person's faith is not sufficient for the task. And so by drawing near to him diligently and seeking him like the Syrophoenician woman, your faith grows. The other thing is, Jesus is not only interested in meeting your needs, but changing your character. Waiting brings out either the best or the worst. When God doesn't answer you according to your fleshly desires, you want it now, the waiting is good for your soul. Patience produces character. We must learn to be patient before God Almighty and wait at his door, at his doorposts, listening to him. It's good for you. Hallelujah. It's good for you. So if you're not located by the Lord tonight, and I don't pray for you, go home and say, hallelujah, he loves me. Truly, you know. Hallelujah. Turn to the person beside you and say, God loves you more than you could imagine. When you've got some sort of issue that's really plaguing your life, don't focus on your problem. Oh dear me. Just turn me down a little bit. I'm feeding back. Oh dear me. Why is this happening? All the miseries, you know. The fear, the anxiety. Fear and anxiety can be a natural thing. But press in by faith into Jesus Christ. The pressing in is good for your soul. It's good for your character. Keep your focus on him, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. How do you focus and look to Jesus, who's in the invisible realm, if you don't have the gift of sight? When you look at the Word of God, you're looking at Jesus. Meditate on the promises of God's Word. That will build your faith. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the preaching of Christ. Let the Holy Spirit reveal Christ to you through his Word. Let Jesus Christ, the Word of God, be revealed to you as you meditate on the Word. You know, does anyone know how David dealt? They're all having fun up there. Let's just forget about the computer, okay? Thank you. Does anyone know how David dealt with problems and spiritual warfare and enemies? And anyone know his spiritual strategy of spiritual warfare? Does anyone know? The greatest spiritual strategy of David was, I will meditate on your law. I will meditate on your word. That was his greatest strategy. It's right through his writings, right through the Psalms. My enemies are speaking against me. My enemies are attacking me. My enemies pursue me, but I will meditate on your word. I love your word. Your word is my delight. When you're going through problems and the enemy is attacking, go deeper and deeper into the Word of God. Because the primary battlefield is in the mind. If the enemy can control your mind, he can control your life. Because in your mind, you're either going to allow the Word of God to take control, or you're going to let demons create strongholds. And those strongholds will rob you. Very often people who've been demonized, possessed, psychiatric problems and so on, I feel the Holy Spirit gives me this prescription, medical prescription. Go and meditate on the Word, because your mind has been damaged by demons. Even physically sometimes the brain's been damaged. Did you know that thoughts are chemical neuropaths in the brain? By meditating on the Word, you change those chemical pathways from strongholds of the enemy to the power of God. When you study something, science or something, basically you're putting information in your head. But when you meditate on the Word, something else happens. Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. The Holy Spirit enters your mind, into your brain, and brings life. The Bible says that His Word directs our steps. When you seriously meditate on the Word of God, something begins to happen around you and in you in the spiritual realm. You listening? The Word of God begins to control everything and everyone around you. Things begin to happen like supernaturally. Things begin to happen. He begins to connect you supernaturally with people. You think that you're late for a meeting or you're late for this, but it wasn't that you were late. It was the Word of God was hindering you from going because you would have had a car accident or because He wanted you to meet someone. I'll give you a little example. Just to encourage your faith, I don't like talking about myself too much, but one day in October, November last year, just turn me down a little bit, still feeding back, I got to the airport. Now, this was a big flight. I think it was $700 or something. And I got to the airport, plenty of time, and they said, sorry, it's cancelled. Not the flight, you. And I'm like, this has been booked by the travel agent and everything. They said, go over there, and they'll help you book another flight. You have to pay for it with another airline. So, you know, I'm type A personality. That means leadership type. I'm about to tell them what I think. And the Holy Spirit says to me, no, you won't. I was the one who cancelled the flight. I'm like, God. So I go and pay for the other flight. I get on it, sit down in my seat. And the lady beside me, she's lost her hair from chemo. And she turns to me and says, what do you do? And I tell her, and she says, well, this was not by chance that I'm sitting with you. You see? The natural, it wants to control what's happening and it gets frustrated when things don't work out. But when you're meditating on the Word of God, God's like, don't worry about $700. The salvation of a soul is more important. So she then goes on. I haven't started my sermon, I'm just chatting. So she then goes on and says, I had a dream. More like a night vision. She said, I'm lying in my bed. I just received the news about stage 3 or 4 breast cancer or whatever it was. And she says, I'm lying in my bed and the door opens and I'm scared. What's going on? She says, everything's dark, but through the door comes brilliant light. And I'm looking. What's happening? Why is the door opening in my bedroom? And why all this light? She says, I look, and there's a man seated by my bedroom door at a table, and he has a book. And he looks at me, and everything is white, but his eyes are blue. He's all white, everything white, but his eyes are blue. He's looking very, he's studious, he's studying this book, trying to find something. And he can't find it. And he looks at me with sorrow in his eyes, and he shakes his head. She said that was the end of the vision or the dream. I said, shall I tell you what it means? She said, yes, please. I said, the man sitting at the desk was an angel. And he was looking at what's called the Book of Life. And he was studying all the names in the Book of Life. But your name was not there. And if your name is not written, you are not going to heaven. She said, oh, really? Catholic background. I said, would you like to know how to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? She said, oh, yes, please. And then she received Jesus Christ as her Savior. Hallelujah. So it was worth missing a flight. So as you meditate on the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, the Word, is life, and the Word is working without you even knowing what's going on. It's just doing things, connecting, doing things. And so you can just relax and trust Him that He is at work doing what He wants. No one's here by chance today. The Word is at work. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's close our eyes for a moment. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Never mind your problems in this world. If the biggest issue, the biggest problem anyone can have is that their name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Only by faith and repentance in Jesus' name is our name written in that book. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Eternity is before you. Where are you going? Heaven or hell? Heaven is a wonderful place. Hell is more terrible than your mind could ever imagine. Where are you going? If you have a doubt that your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you would like to receive Jesus Christ and repent of your sins, why don't you put your hand up to Jesus and say, Lord, put my name in that book. Anyone like that this morning? One person, anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Anyone else? Praise God. Let's say this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I come in Jesus' name. I repent of my sin. Now tell the Lord what your sins are. It could be a filthy mouth. It could be an angry mouth, swearing mouth. It could be an unclean mind. It could be lust, jealousy, greed, addiction to money, selfishness, ambition, unbelief, gossip, unforgiveness, hatred, the occult, the new age, anything to do with the occult, such as Harry Potter, horoscopes, astrology. Just bring all of it to the Lord right now and ask Him to forgive you. Just confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Confession of sin is the greatest healing. Forgiveness. By His stripes we are healed. Every part of your body. Thank you, Jesus. Let's continue the prayer. Thank you, Father. I have confessed my sins. Your word says that I am forgiven. I am cleansed. I am righteous by the blood of Jesus. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart. I give you my life. I make myself your slave, your servant. I belong to you. You bought me by your blood. Heaven is my destiny. Heaven is my home. God is my Father. I am His beloved child. I am loved. I am accepted. I am whole. I am well. I am justified as if I had never sinned. Righteous by His blood. I am blessed with all the riches in Christ Jesus. I am prospered in him. I am the head and not the tail. My problems are under my feet. I am in Christ. He is in me. I live a victorious life in him. The enemy is defeated. He shall flee from me. He shall run with me from me. For I am more than an overcomer. By faith in Jesus' name. By faith, I have overcome the world and every challenge in my life. I declare I am a winner. Satan is a loser. By the blood of Jesus, I have conquered. I am healed. I am delivered. This is my declaration of praise. Hallelujah. Give him a wave. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Isn't God good? Hallelujah. Who was here last night? Who's here, just wasn't here last night, first time, whatever? Oh, quite a few of you. Praise God. Isn't that awesome? And who came because of Encounter Ministries, YouTube, internet, that type of thing? A few people? Yeah, praise God. Hallelujah. We had a great time last night. Who felt something happened? They were healed, delivered, made well. Something happened last night. Just put up your hand. You felt something happened last night. Now, the purpose of this ministry is solely to glorify God. So I'd like to, if something, you know, that you can tell happened, would you like to come forward just quickly, and we're just going to share what happened, okay? Would you like to come quickly? Come. Give her a clap. You know, I've got this thing I forgot to put on. I thought I had it all worked out what I'd be doing today. You see. So I'll just put this on. What's your name?
Nicole.
Nicole, what happened? What was the problem?
I just had them all in my heart, and you asked me, but Jesus knew what was going on in my heart. And then you didn't really, well, you actually did say that you said you'd never be the same again. So then I went out in the spirit, and it was you, and I could hear you. You asked me, what's going on there? What's going on? But I couldn't answer you, even though I could hear you, because I didn't really have the words to, I just couldn't tell you. And but it was like he was. I saw you on Tuesday, and I'd had other deliverance and things, but it was like he was just finishing off the last bit of sadness, healing the last bit of sadness. It's a bit hard to describe, but and I wasn't weeping physically in the physical. It was the tears were just sort of all being dealt with in the spiritual. Yeah, praise God.
You know, amen. You know, what's your name again?
Nicole.
Nicole. You know, a lot of my preaching is about the healing of the soul. Mm. It's not much about the healing of the body. Mm. A lot of it's how God wants to restore your soul because he just loves you. Amen. Amen. And one of the great ways you can restore your soul is meditating in the Word of God. Yeah. Praise God. So how are you going today?
Great, lovely, great, just different but normal. You know, just different in the soul. Praise God.
You know, because, you know, last night I talked about Jesus Christ and his kingdom is a mystery. So when he comes to you, you may never have experienced anything like it. And he just comes and it is God Almighty. It's like in heaven, there are colours that are unseen on earth. When he comes to you, it's very hard to explain it. And not only that, it's very hard to explain what's happened to you.
That's correct. That's correct. But I love him, and I'm thankful, and I pray that he blesses all of you with that healing in your soul. Yeah, all of you.
Nicole is a song. I often forget words of songs, but something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful of your life. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God loves you, Nicole. Come, sister. Come on this side. What's your name?
Mary.
Mary. I'll have this, thanks. Okay. Praise God. What was the problem, Mary?
Well, I came Tuesday night and I had no energy. I got diabetes and I was suffering sore feet. And I came Tuesday night and got some prayer and I left. But when the anointing came on me, I just felt peace, just peace, total peace, and felt like I'd grown. I'd expanded and grew about a foot tall. I just felt really tall. And whereas before I was like bent over, you know, no energy and just really like huddled. So Tuesday night I came and I thought, oh, I'm walking down the street with my friend. And I said, oh, I feel like, you know, I've just feel so tall. I feel like I've just, my shoulders are back. I'm walking really tall. And then I came last night. And I thought, I've got to go back again and get some more prayer. And I came again. And you prayed for me and said, you know, because I've got a blood disorder and my blood's clean, you know. And you said, oh, my blood's clean, the Lord's healed me. So I believe that he's healed me of the diabetes. Yeah. So hallelujah. It's been a long time, but finally I think I'm there. Praise God. Yeah.
You know, I just posted a couple of videos of my brother John, who was a drug dealer, heroin addict for 20 years or something. And when he came to Christ, he wrote a song. And do you know what it's called?
No.
I Feel 7 Foot Tall. Wow. Something like that, you know. He's just like, he just feels like he's grown, you know.
Yeah, it was a different anointing because I, you know, usually like, shake and that, but this time it was just a peace. It was just a peace and just feeling enlarged, stretched out, you know. Yeah. like I've opened up, you know. Yeah.
You see, the soul, I believe, can be wounded. The soul can shrivel from lack of encouragement and lack of life, lack of nourishment. But when Jesus comes, it can grow.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord.
I'll tell you about a little boy, 7-year-old, and this little boy had no eardrum in his left ear, and he was size 4, stunted in growth. It stopped growing, size 4. And I said to him, do you believe that Jesus Christ will do this? He said, yes. I didn't know that he'd... I don't think I knew he'd... Anyway, so he said, yes. But there's no eardrum. And he's under the care of an audiologist. So immediately he could hear. He went back to the audiologist. And she looks in the ear and there's nothing there, but he can hear. And she's totally like... But over 10 weeks, he grew 7 centimetres. Or 10 centimetres or something. He physically grew. They had to buy him new clothes. They sent me the photo. He was like, is this the same boy, you know? Yeah. Praise God. Like my baby, my grandson. Yes. Yes. He grew 600 grams in 1 hour in the womb, verified by the midwife. Praise God. Praise God. Isn't God good? Bless you. Come on, sir. Praise God. You know, I like to say to people, welcome into the presence of Jesus, but someone wrote on YouTube, you know, who do you think you are, Mark? But it's just I'm so aware that he's here. It's not about me. Welcome into the presence of Jesus. He's here. He's standing right here. He's going to listen to you glorify him. What's your name?
My name is Alan. And last night my prayer was answered or confirmed to me, really why I attended the meeting last night was confirmation.
So what was the problem? Or
I have a testimony in my history. Before 2014, I was a very different person. Party, alcohol, drugs. I dabbled in the occult. I learned how to read palms. Divination, fortune-telling through reading people's fortune through playing cards. And I used this knowing to impress people, parties or wherever I had the opportunity to, not knowing the demonic forces behind it. In 2014, I was diagnosed with cancer. In my desperation, I found God. I said, Lord, I don't want to die. Heal me. In a dream, I saw myself sleeping, and I saw a shadow of a dragon leave my mouth in my dream. God healed me. That same year, 2014, me and my wife surrendered our lives to the Lord. We went through water baptism and began our journey in Christ. For the past 4 years, the Holy Spirit has continued to burn unnecessary things in my life. And praise the Lord, I have never been sick or diseased again in the last 4 years of any sickness. I haven't seen a doctor in 4 years because the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, is my doctor. I've learned to stand on his promises concerning healing. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, it says, the Lord God says, if you obey my words, I will not allow sickness and disease to come upon you. Or another translation, it says, I will take away all sickness and disease from you.
Amen. So what happened last night, Alan?
So last night, I fell under the power of the Holy Spirit. When Pastor Mark called me up, I felt the presence, the anointing on me straight away. And I did say last night, it was the second time that I felt it. I felt this presence before. The very first time was in 2014. And at that time, when I fell in the spirit, I was stuck on the floor. Although conscious, I couldn't get up off the floor physically, even though I tried with all my might. There was a presence on me, and God became real to me at that instant. No matter what anybody said, it wouldn't change.
So what happened last night?
So last night when I fell in the spirit, it was confirmation. Before I came to the meeting last night, at prayer at home, I said, Lord, I pray that Pastor Mark picks me out of the crowd and you will confirm the prayers I'm praying to you. I'm asking for a season, a new season of favor, a greater anointing in my life to pray for the sick. I pray for the sick. I see migraines go. I see healings to a certain degree. But I want an anointing from you, Lord, to glorify you, that I pray cancers go, blind eyes open, deaf ears hear, demons flee. That was my prayer last night, and I believe God has confirmed that this season is coming into my life.
Amen. Give Jesus a clap. Praise God. Thanks, Alan. Bless you. Yeah. And for those who weren't here last night, we'll just hear quickly from Genevieve. Come on, Genevieve. Just quickly, we'll hear from you. Bless you. She shared last night, but I just wanted to... just such a tremendous story. Praise God. Give her a clap. Genevieve, what was the problem?
Oh, I'm cancer. I was told I got cancer in my right side. I had left one, and I had the scan, and I have the biopsies. And when I showed the letter to you, Is it confirmed? But it's written on the piece on the 13 that it's just, I don't know what it's not. It's different. That's why I felt bad when I showed it to you. I reread it again last night, and I was telling that it was cancer.
So you had cancer in the right breast. You came on left. Right breast happening again. Yeah, so then you came on Tuesday night.
Tuesday night, and you blessed me, and I felt something happen, and then you gave me a little touch on my foot, and I feel released, and the shakes and all that's gone, and my pain is gone, less pain completely, and the one I had on the left is completely gone now. I don't feel it. It's been there for 11 years since I had it, because they took the nodes out, and the pain comes on and off, and the staples are still in there. Because I had a big bleed.
So you don't feel anything on the left or the right now?
No. I slept.
And the right was bleeding, is that right?
Yeah, it was blistering from the dressing. Some part and some not the same dressing. That's why I was astonished when I showed it to the doctor. And she couldn't believe it. So
what did the doctor say? Because you had went back to the doctor on Wednesday.
I went back to the doctor. The first registrar said, oh, you've got to go back and some more biopsies. And everybody was looking at me and said they're the same like the left one. And I wasn't happy. So I wait for the result. I came to you on the 12th, and on the 13th, she just yelled, it's not there, and she wrote the report. But she didn't do another scan. She just read and showed me the picture, movement of the picture, and give me the results.
So what did she say?
It's gone.
Someone say hallelujah. Praise God. Have a seat, Genevieve. Jesus said, it is finished. The doctor says it is gone. He took our diseases. He took our sin at Calvary. It is finished. Praise the Lord. All right, I just want to share briefly. Jesus Christ is this wonderful hidden mystery. And through the Word of God, you can have fellowship. The Bible says fellowship with the mystery. As you read the Word of God, see, Jesus Christ, in him are all the riches of heaven. The Bible says unsearchable riches, unfathomable, limitless riches. In heaven. And the wonderful thing is he's given us the Word of God to access the riches. People say, but I can't see him. I haven't got that gift. But you can read the Word. We can all read the Word. The Word is the revelation of God in Christ Jesus. How do I receive those beautiful riches of heaven, of joy and peace and wholeness and life? By meditating by faith on the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will reveal through the Word of God. There is this kingdom that's invisible, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. It's a mystery to unbelievers. Unbelievers look on the outside and they scoff and they're skeptical and they it's all fake, and how much did you pay them for this, and all this, we get it on YouTube. But for those, Jesus said, who are not on the outside, for those who by faith are on the inside, the kingdom of heaven is a reality. So I want to just continue to talk about this. Romans 16:25. Now to him who is able to establish you. You may not be sick, you may not have financial problems, but the soul without Christ is not established. It's just the waves, demonic winds push your soul around. It has no rock. And when your soul is not established in Christ, it affects everything around you. You've got, see, the Word of God is our foundation. No matter what comes, I believe the Word of God is true. Now, to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to, now listen to this, the revelation of the mystery. If you've got it all worked out, you've missed it. I studied theology, Bible, university and so on, 8 years. If you've got it all figured out, you've missed it. Thomas Aquinas wrote 3 volumes on the Trinity. After he finished it, he had a revelation of heaven and he said, all my works are like straw. Are like straw. If you've got it all figured out, you're in pride. The revelation of the mystery. You see, God knows the proud from afar, but he dwells with the humble. It's a mystery, but he will come and indwell you. Intimate fellowship with Christ is possible for those who say, Lord, I'm a fool. I know nothing. I want you. I need you. Reveal yourself to me. Lord, you know I'm a sinner redeemed by your blood. Lord, you created me. You are God Almighty. I seek you like a child. And then the mystery of fellowship comes to those who are like children. According to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. Kept secret, Paul says, throughout the ages, generation to generations. They did not know what you and I know now in Christ Jesus. There is something beautiful, invaluable, precious, glorious about Jesus Christ. He's not religion. He's not a set of doctrines. He is God present. However, Paul says, this is 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. You see, for an unbeliever, we speak one way. But we speak wisdom to those who are mature. To those on the outside, Jesus spoke in parables. He said nothing without a parable. That's what he said. But to those on the inside, he spoke wisdom and explained the parables. Yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Praise God. You see, the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of man. And God, I've just, you know, throughout my life and praying for people, I've just seen how wise God is. You know, what seemed, oh, you mustn't do it that way. Someone was telling me off on YouTube saying, you should have ministered to this person this way. Why did you slap them across the face? You know, well, the Bible says that wisdom is known by its children. Well, the person who got slapped across the face was healed of stammering, dyslexia, and intellectual disability. The wisdom of God will humble the proud. He has a way of doing things. I haven't slapped anyone across the face for years. Smith Wigglesworth used to do all that sort of stuff, you know. the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. If you want God just to do things the way that you want him to act in your life, for our glory, you won't know what it means to be glorified. Paul talks about being justified, being glorified. Being glorified means to be filled with the glory. You just humble yourself and let God do things in the hidden secrets of his will in your life. And you'll experience being glorified. That doesn't mean being worshipped. It means the glory going through you. Just like justified, glorified. But as it is written, turn to the person beside you and say, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now turn to the person beside you and say, do you love him? You know, it's one thing to be a good Christian. Seriously, it's one thing to be a good Christian, go to church, go to Bible study, read your Bible, pray in the morning. It's another thing to love him. If you will love him, you can't imagine the things he'll do for you. If you love him, you can't imagine the hidden secrets of glory and riches that he's stored up for you to release on you. But God has revealed them to us. How? Through his Spirit. The Spirit of God takes the invisible, mysterious, secret, hidden things and reveals them to us. Like the woman who had breast cancer. And she was filled with this glorious joy. So much so that her family, this is about 25 years ago, I met this lady. So much so that the family thought she was loony. She'd lost her mind. And then she was healed. But she had received by the Spirit of God this richness, this treasure of joy. In the midst of suffering, comes by the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, the most important thing for the church and for the new Christians was to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you received the baptism of John, did you receive the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Spirit? When Saul was knocked to the ground and he saw Jesus Christ and he goes to Damascus and he's blinded by the light, and Aeneas comes to him. Aeneas doesn't do a Bible study and disciple him. He obeys what Jesus commanded him, prayed that he might receive his sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. What happened to Saul, when he was filled with the Holy Spirit? He got up and started preaching the gospel. Bang! A murderer became a preacher. That's what the Holy Spirit will do. The Holy Spirit can teach you things in a split second that man could never do. You need the Holy Spirit. You know, how do you do ministry? Pray for the sick and so on. How? Jesus gave us a helper, a teacher, who will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance the things that he has said. You don't need a manual, you need the Holy Spirit. He's a person. He's indivisible from Jesus Christ. And they called him the teacher. He's with us. Open your Bible. Say, Lord, Holy Spirit, teach me, reveal to me the riches of heaven. Praise God. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. People who reject the baptism and the Holy Spirit, who scoff at the anointing but say that they're Christians, have robbed themselves of the knowledge of God. You can only know the deep things of God by the Holy Spirit. Fellowship in Christ by the Holy Spirit. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. You know, I encourage you to zip your mouth before God, say nothing, and allow the Holy Spirit to teach you. Sit in his presence and let him teach you. Just be still. 5 minutes, 15 minutes, half an hour, 45 minutes, 1 hour. Be still and let him teach you. He's a wonderful teacher. He'll reveal to you the invisible secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Say you got a business. You don't know what to do. So you wait at his door and you wait for his counsel. And then, like a breeze, he comes and he speaks. And suddenly you know how to do your business. Your family, you don't know what to do. You wait upon the master. He'll teach you what to do. And you'll find that very often, what he's teaching you is love. Is love. What do I do about my son? What do I do about my daughter? What do I do about my spouse? Love. Let love lead. Amen. We're finishing up. Now we have received. Now listen to this. Is anyone interested in the deep things of God? Or am I just talking to myself this morning? Are we interested in the deep things of God? Or you just want to go and have lunch? All right. For we have not received the spirit of the world. One of the greatest hindrances to entering into the things of the Spirit of God is the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world will deafen and blind you and harden your heart. Why do you think Satan has a generation of teenagers stuck watching computer games? Blinding them as they watch violence and all this sort of rubbish. Why do you think Satan has people just, you know, watching stupid movies about the occult and Harry Potter and darkness and violence and sex and all this sort of stuff? Because as a Christian, you can't enter into the purity and the holiness of God and have one foot in the world. It doesn't work like that. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's the word of God that will renew your mind. Instead of just sitting there chilling out in front of a television, turn it off and meditate on the word. It will renew your mind. Praise God. People, you know, like one guy, he says to me, comes to me, I'm busy before the meeting, and he comes and interrupts me and says, "Pray for me for impartation." I said to him, "Sir, I'm busy. Wait for the meeting." "Oh, I can't wait. I'm going somewhere." He was off to a rock concert and he wanted the impartation. These things we also speak. Where are we? Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. God has freely given us things, but because we get involved in the spirit of the world, we can't know those things. They're all free. Freely you have received. The cross, the blood, has given us all things. God did not withhold his Son, but gave us all things with him. But we rob ourselves from the knowledge of what he has given us because we're not consecrated. But the verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things. You know what I've discovered? You know, we talk about apostles and pastors and prophets and teachers and evangelists. There's another category. It's the spiritual man or woman. You look at that throughout the New Testament. There's another person, the spiritual man or woman or child. There are people sitting here who are spiritual. They're spiritual beings. They're not living this world like just in the natural. They discern things. They have spiritual discernment. They live their life, walk their life by the Spirit of God. They're spiritual people. The natural can't discern. You have to be spiritual. Hallelujah. Someone say, thank you, Jesus, for your word. Amen. Praise God. You know, it's amazing. There's such a hunger for God's word, you know. On the internet, you have some amazing miracle and you get like 700 views or something. You put up a teaching of God's word, you get 2,000 views. You know, it's just, or 1,500 or whatever. It's just, you know, constantly people are saying, Mark, we want your preaching, So we now have someone dedicated just to put up my preaching. Hallelujah. But it's such a hunger, you know. People, they want the word. So we've now gone to Spotify. You know Spotify? So people are listening on Spotify as well. Praise God. Thanks, Peter. You can move that. Yep. Yeah, that's great. Peter's doing a great job. Just give him a clap. Well, God's time is best. Amen. So we just continue in the Lord. We're not in a hurry. If you're in a hurry for pizza or something, you know, feel free to go. But praise God. So if those who've got vests can put them on so I know who's who, that'd be